Getting ahead of the game. Old ways won't open new doors. Why Bernie Madoff got so many people and how to make people emotional and feel the love. So we've now examined the thought box and discovered the back bit that always wants to fight, run, and just say no. But what about the decisions we constantly make? Whether to drink coffee, go to bed early, or cross the road further along? The emotional bit of the thought box. How many times have you heard someone say, "I don't know why he does that. It makes no sense." Because the person asking the question is using their own logic to try to understand the other person's emotional thinking. If it were that easy, we'd all know the answers to why people would drive around for ages looking for the nearest parking spot to the gym entrance, or why World War II kamikaze pilots wore helmets, or why someone would rather get the Big Mac with the double fries and the onion rings and then choose the Diet Coke. Whenever you want someone to make a decision, you need to make sure that they're communicating with their emotional bit of the thought box. We actually make decisions based on emotions, and only later do we find the logic to justify them. If we're really logical with our decisions, and they're not based on emotions like love, greed, jealousy, or hate, then there'd be no point in the character of Mr. Spock in Star Trek. We laugh at his inability to understand Captain Kirk's decisions. Why? We can easily understand and relate to Kirk's decisions because they're human ones, based on emotion. Spock, however, can only make rational, logical decisions and cannot understand why Kirk doesn't. This Spock example should start to get you thinking how in reality we only make decisions based on emotions. Then we use logic to try and justify our positions. So how do we get people to make logical decisions? We need to move them to an emotional state. Get them to take the steps to think through the arguments in their own minds. And then use the logic we present to organise and justify those thoughts. Experiments conducted in the 70s showed that when faced with choices in a gambling environment, most people did not choose the bet with the highest odds of winning. Even when shown the math first, they'd still choose to place bets that made no logical sense. Take national and state lotteries. We'll buy a ticket when the prize is the largest. This makes no logical sense. Why? Because although the prize gets bigger with more tickets sold, the more tickets that are sold, the lower your chances are of winning the lottery. So why do we buy lottery tickets then? Because the emotional rush of imagining a joyous future from winning all that lovely prize money makes us justify the purchase of a lottery ticket using supposed logic. In this case, the logic is, well, somebody has to win, right? We even see massive hedge funds and so-called smartest people on Wall Street fall into the trap of human decision-making, and it's never based on logic. Bernie Madoff knew that when he's convinced hundreds of the super rich to join his unique club, those investors also used emotional thinking and then afterwards created their own logic to back up their decisions. Well, I don't know much about what Bernie does, but if the Bernsteins are with him, then we'd be fools not to invest. What people are buying is into the concept of maybe one day in the future. And it's an emotional decision that cannot be a logical decision, because nobody using only logic would invest money in a business that doesn't make money. And nobody has ever been able to predict the future outside of some lucky guesses. So we all know that decisions to act come from the emotional bit of the thought box. Therefore, it's important that our language changes in order to talk to it. People will fear making a mistake much more than moving towards a benefit. So even if the odds are stacked in the favour of making a profit, we'll protect ourselves from making a mistake. So what if people won't follow the rules of emotional logic? Well, they will. Everybody will. But first, we have to get them there. And for some personality types, that's easier. And for others, it can be tougher. How would that make you feel? Keeping people in the emotional bit of the thought box when we need them is so important to make decisions that I'll end up with a sentence that says, how does that make you feel? Feelings are emotional, and the value of something is based on how the result makes somebody feel, not at what it actually is. In actual fact, if you have an interaction with somebody, the person will remember not about the widget that you talked about, but how you made them feel. When I chat to people, I always include the question somewhere in the conversation, what would make you happy? Then shut up while the other person fills in the blanks. And when they're finished talking, I finish with, and if we're able to make all this happen for you today, how would that make you feel? Once they answer, I simply give them the list of what I need them to do now in order for me to provide them with the result that they actually need. If we ever meet in person or you see me speaking on YouTube, you'll find that my language is peppered with phrases such as, just suppose, imagine. In a perfect world, what would you like to see happen? And hey, how would that make you feel? One question, better outcome. And how would that make you feel? You can ask the same question a couple of different ways and get the same reply, but a better outcome. When we constantly ask people how they feel about the decisions we want them to make, it keeps them using the emotional bit and the decision-making bit of the thought box. Think of stoking a campfire. You need to give the fire oxygen by keeping the embers burning. Making others feel is the same thing. So stoke the emotions. So when you're talking to them, right? I mean, I never used to sell anything. I'd simply chat with people about solving their particular problem. I discovered that it was never about the actual widget, but always some emotional element, a new job, divorce, marriage, etc. Once my assistant asked me, hey, Rick, how come you don't remember any buyer's names and the reason they're buying from you? I mean, this guy, he just told me yesterday. The thing is, I make a point of never remembering anybody's details, so they need to remind me who they are and, more importantly, why they're coming to see me. After the intentional confusion and much apologizing, I'll bring them back to the thinking about their needs and wants. Now, let me repeat this. I never remember anybody's information or details so that when they go back telling me again to remind me, it shifts them into the emotional zone of the thought box. I'll bring them back to the thinking about their needs and wants. I wanted the buyer to retell the story of why they needed to buy. So I'm stoking those embers, stirring up the feelings once again. I can then address those feelings with the solutions that could also make them feel made sense. This could only be done if they saw the widget as part of their future by turning into the emotional bit of their thought boxes. Now, I wanted them to imagine themselves in that improved space and experience and ask how would that make them feel. So I put them into the future, solve the problems, and then ask them how they would feel about that. Remember what I said earlier, people never remember you for the widget. They remember you from how you made them feel. The extra pepperoni. People make decisions more readily when they feel it's easy, fun, and I can do it. How does that make you feel? Switches people to an emotional state. Or put it this way, make them feel something and they'll decide something.